Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We'll talk to Marcus Spears. Played in the National Football League for 9 seasons. He's all over ESPN. He's an LSU grad. Consensus All-American. And he was a D-end, and he's going to join us and talk some football in a couple of minutes. We've wanted to get him on for a long time, and he's always swamped. And he was kind enough to say, yep, I'll do it. I'll come on. He does great work on television. And an LSU grad, as I said, first rounder in 2005, played for the Cowboys, played for the Ravens, and now is wildly entertaining, and he joins us now. Marcus Spears, thank you for taking time for us. We've wanted to talk to you for a while.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Everybody's safe and healthy. How about on your end?
Same thing, man. Self-quarantine is in full effect at my house, man.
God bless you. So, we've got the draft coming up in 3 weeks. Our Bears have been somewhat active. They have a open quarterback competition, according to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I had Dave Wannstedt on TV with me the other day. He said, listen to me. He goes, in the building, there are still people, multiple, that drafted Mitch that want him to win that competition. Do you believe that?
Oh, man. I said the other day, I think when open competition is uttered by a head coach, or when you have a staff or a front office that's mum on who the starting quarterback is, there's trouble in the river or in the water. So Nick Foles was not brought in to just make Mitch Trubisky better. I hate that narrative. I hate people saying, well, Foles is going to push Mitch Trubisky to be the player he should be. When you get to the pros and you 4 or 5 years in the league, nobody should have to push you to be the best player you could be. Maybe you are just what you are. So I'm looking forward to seeing Nick Foles actually play. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Nick Foles gives this Chicago team a better opportunity to win for where they are right now, especially with this vaunted defense that they have and have had for the past 2 or 3 years. So, That's my opinion on it. I think when you play the most important position in all of professional sports, at some point people have to own who you are as a player. And whether that's Mitch can be a serviceable starter or a serviceable backup in the league, whether he can take another jump and become a starting quarterback that's playing at a high level, I don't know that. And I don't want to sound like I'm bashing the kid, but it's been enough time and enough sample size to kind of figure out who Mitch Trubisky is. And if they didn't know, or if they still had full confidence that he was just in the maturation process, I don't think you go get Nick Foles and take on that contract.
But do they, Marcus, look at this, and maybe I'm wrong, that they look at it and go, okay, we have got this defense. Let's go get Robert Quinn because he's better than Leonard Floyd, and he makes with Akeem Hicks back and Eddie Goldman, and then obviously Khalil Mack, and we get Trevathan back, that we are a really good, ready-to-win-the-Super-Bowl defense. We cannot have a glorified assistant coach like Chase Daniel as our backup because if Mitch gets hurt or Mitch struggles, we have to have a safety net. Or do you think privately, hey, man, they're handing the keys to Nick, and if Mitch surprises us all, great, but that's Nick's team.
I think probably you handed it to Nick. Everything we've heard about Nick Foles prior to him being in Chicago this year is that Nick Foles was a guy that comes in the locker room and legit everybody loves him. And I'm not saying that they don't love Mitch Trubisky, but I know from being a former player and having the experience of guys in your locker room, Nick Foles is a Super Bowl winner, a Super Bowl MVP, signed a big deal with Jacksonville, and obviously that didn't work out because of injury and played pretty poorly, and I think that had something to do with being out for the extended period of time. But at the end of the day, man, you don't bring a guy in with those credentials just to sit behind a guy that you not sold on. That's me though. That's how I look at it, because I look at things like when Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, said, "Well, we gonna wait on Cam Newton's health prognosis to come back before we make a decision on it." What Marcus Spears hears is, "Hey man, it's about to go down. Cam out of there." Like, so I'm more of a, when it comes to things like this, being in the league for a long time, I'm not really the I guess I don't want to say not optimistic, because that sounds like Mr. Trubisky can't get better. But when you bring in a guy with this experience, with his opportunity, with his ability to play for Matt Nagy, who he's been with already, to me that's not saying you bringing him in just for it to be a quarterback competition to push Mitch. You bringing him in because you think he's going to make this team better by being the guy that's under center. That's how I look at it.
Okay, so are
everybody else can have an optimistic view about it and having a legit backup. But for years in this league, we thought Chase Daniels was a great backup, and he did some great things as a backup quarterback. Now you bring in a former Super Bowl MVP. This dude got a statue in Philadelphia. And you think you're going to bring him in just to be the backup and knowing that your starting quarterback is on shaky ground? I just don't see it that way.
Do you think let's assume Nick is the starter. Let's assume Nick stays healthy. Let's assume the Bears have the type of health they had in 2018 when they were one of the healthier teams. Do you believe they're good enough then to make a deep run?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this defense is good enough to win 3 or 4 games alone. And the one thing that Nick Foles has done is take care of the football. That's a premium. And be able to move the ball downfield. And then just confidence. Man, a lot of people, the mental part of football as well, knowing you got a guy in the center that can pull it out for you. I still think the prognosis around the league is that Nick Foles is that guy, that he can win some games for you when you're in tight situations. He can get an offense matriculating downfield. Obviously, bringing in Jimmy Graham will help. And I know a lot of people talking about Jimmy Graham is not this and not that. Jimmy Graham's still 6'6", 6'7", and can win in the red zone. Nick Foles, one of the better red zone quarterbacks in the league when he was playing with Philly. Cordell Patterson's still there. Allen Robinson, who I think can be a better football player with a better quarterback. So it's just one of them. I'm of the mindset that when you are in the NFL and you bring guys in with credentials like this, you're not bringing them in just in case something happens to a guy that you're not 100% sold on. And I really believe the Chicago Bears can be. I mean, we had them playoff contenders last year because we thought Mitch Trubisky. I think I talked to you guys early in the year about them against the Green Bay.
Yep.
And I said, I just believe that Aaron Rodgers is significantly better than the quarterback. I didn't think Green Bay was a better team overall, but I knew that how important that position was and what happens when you have such a disparity at that spot. Now, Aaron Rodgers is different. Obviously, he's going to be better than most guys he plays against. But I don't think the gap is as significant with Nick Foles as it is with Mitch Trubisky, combined with everything that's on that football team already.
You were a DN and a very good one. Robert Quinn comes to Chicago, gets a big deal, $30 million guaranteed, 70 overall. And it's apparent that pass rush, if they're healthy, is much better than it was with Leonard Floyd there. What do you think of this signing?
Man, unbelievable. Him and Khalil, are you kidding me? And how Pagano is going to use Roquan Smith in the blitz packages. And obviously we know what Trevathan is, a really good football player. You look at this defense. This is a chance now for it to be nightmarish for offenses when they're trying to move the ball, especially on third and long, especially on third down when you have two pass rushers like 52, and obviously everybody knows I'm talking about Khalil Mack. Robert Quinn is one of the more active defenders, too. When people talk about his ability to rush the passer, Robert Quinn makes a lot of plays, just plays in the run game, pressures, making quarterbacks get off their spot. It's a difference when, like, I know everybody's enamored with sacks, and obviously that's what gets you paid. That's what the headlines are. Robert Quinn last year for the Dallas Cowboys was one of the more productive guys in pressuring the quarterback as well in the NFL. So I think this is a huge signing. He's fast. His speed coming off of both edges, it helps you free up Khalil a little bit more. You can do so much when you have guys that can win one-on-ones like they can. And then Big Akeem in the middle, obviously, and Eddie. But this could be devastating for people.
Why is Cam Newton, why is Jameis Winston, two very talented guys, although they have some warts, Jameis with turnovers, Cam with his health, why are those guys sitting out on the market still?
The simplest answer for Cam is the fact that he can't have a physical and teams can't evaluate him. I believe that this would be a totally different process for Cam Newton. If we didn't have a pandemic going on and it was a normal operation of business in the NFL and in the country when it comes to doctors being able to look at him. I know that's a boring answer, but I don't see anything that Cam still can't do in this league at a very high level. That's just me personally. Jameis, on the other hand, I think it's particulars. I think Jameis has to find a place, and teams are trying to figure out where he fits as far as a backup. Are you trying to groom him to become a starter after he backs up somebody? Do you bring him in behind an older quarterback that can kind of tutor him, maybe a Drew Brees or a Ben Roethlisberger? I thought Pittsburgh would be a good landing spot for him as well. Jameis is a little difficult because Jameis, for all intents and purposes, has the talent of a top five quarterback in the league, just has turnover problems. And whether you can bring him into a situation where he can see the game and maybe process it on the sideline for a year, and that won't, you know, kind of disrupt what your quarterback room is. I just think it's a little more difficult than just saying Jameis has the potential to be a great quarterback, and we're going to bring him in and just let him sit behind a guy and that dynamic in the quarterback room. He'll sign on somewhere, and I believe I'm one to believe Jameis will be a starter again in this league. And not to be funny, he had LASIK surgery. Maybe that was a part of the issue that he's had as far as being turnover prone.
Hey, so, man,
I think he'll be there at some point as a starter.
Before I let you go, last one, Hard Knocks. Schefter announced today two teams are going to be covered. Would you have liked to have participated with a Hard Knocks crew rolling on camp when you were a player?
I actually was a part of Hard Knocks when they showed us, when they was had us in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, man? I got to give NFL, HBO, I mean, the credit they deserve. They stay out of the way. And most of I didn't see any problems. Now, I don't know from a front office or a coaching staff standpoint, but as a player, I didn't feel like they were intrusive at all. I thought it was a good way to show guys' personalities, and damn, did we have some personalities, bro. We had Pac-Man Jones, we had Hank Johnson, we had Theo. Like, it was the Hard Knocks of legend when they did it for the Cowboys. So I think it's great. I think it's a good thing for teams to really give a look. I think they've done a tremendous job on that series for a long time, giving people a real look at what the NFL is like, man.
Hey, man, we greatly appreciate you taking time for us. Really do. Big fan of your work, and thank you for picking up the call.
Appreciate it, family. Thank you.
God bless. There he is, Marcus Spears. Get up, ESPN, and was a longtime National Football League player for 9 seasons. Jeff Passan with optimism for the start of baseball. That is next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
We'll be right back.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 on a Tuesday morning in the great city of Chicago. I hope you are staying safe, healthy, and following the guidelines, please, to be socially distanced. Danny boy, I know it's supposed to be 76 to 78 degrees. Are we going to get a dry day? What is the forecast saying, kid?
Well, Cap, I'm glad you're tapping into my meteorologically degree that I got at the University of Kansas, mm-hmm. if that's even such a thing. According to the great and powerful Tracy Butler.
Show meteorologist, by the way.
Yes, it is going to get a little bit wet this evening, probably around 6, 7 p.m., but we should have a clear afternoon if you want to go out for a run, you want to get some, so around 6 p.m., it's going to be 72 degrees and still clear. It's not going to rain till after 6 o'clock.
Oh, phenomenal. I'm going to take the dogs out on a long walk.
Around 3 p.m. today, 75 degrees and sunny.
Oh.
Hopefully I'll be done with e-learning, and that's when I will be hitting the trails for a run.
Will we do the ski hill today, Danny?
No, I did the ski hill on Friday. Once a week, probably I'll do it again around Friday.
Okay, so I took your advice. I've said this before. I went out and did the ski hill. This was last summer. And I'm trying to remember the number of times you told me you go up the ski hill, but I'm going to guess it was like 40.
I do more than that.
Okay.
Up and now the key is it's not up, come back down, rest. It's up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Zero rest.
Yeah, you're high.
Zero rest. Yeah. No, I'm not high. Don't get high to run. I don't think that would be beneficial for me. If that's what you're into,
okay,
all right.
So I did that, and it's like a bunny hill. But it's still a
it's
hill.
It's a sled hill. Every suburb has a little sled hill.
Correct. That is not an easy run. And so I was able to go like 10 times up and down, up and down. And then I'm like, okay, hold on a minute. I got to catch my breath here. I mean, dude, that is a hard workout.
The key is to keep at it. So if you just do it one time and then you're done, 10 times is going to be your mask. But what I like to do is do it once a week, every week, and whatever number I do, the next time I have to do at least two more. So, you know, last week was my first time out of the year, and I did it a certain number of times.
How many?
I did it 41 times up and down. For the first time of the year, that was really good, because last year, my first time out, I think I did 36. So for my first time out, I did 41 times up and down without a break. So next time when I go back this
43.
Week, I got to do 43. Anything less than 43, I'm not going to be
happy
with
myself. And there's no break at all in the
middle. No break. I run from my house there. I get to the hill, up and down, up and down, up and down, 43 times.
How
and then
far
I
from
run
your house?
Back home. It's a little less than a mile from my house. So it's a little less than a mile there, up and down, and then a little less than a mile home. I do not rest or break at all. That's the key. The key is...
Never even a little water.
No, I don't bring water. And I'm certainly not drinking out of water fountains in a public park.
No, I thought maybe you had a little water.
No, bottle. I don't want to carry anything. I carry my phone so I could have music, and if, God forbid, my wife needs to get a hold of me for something.
Wow. CB, when you run, is there like a protocol to your running? Because I've also told that when we ran in the 5K, I'm like, I'm going to see how long I can keep up with Chris. That was about 200 yards. And Chris just, like a little jackal, just took off.
What?
Like a little rabbit.
You is were a just, jackal, no, is a jackal think, a rabbit?
Yeah, I think a jackal's fast. At least that's what I always thought. I think a jackal's quick. And I was like, okay, this is, I thought I would just run as hard as I could and hang with Chris as long as I could. And that lasted maybe 40 seconds.
A jackal, real quick, is a kind of dog, guys.
Yeah. Not a rabbit.
Oh. Okay. Okay, he's like a jackrabbit.
Yeah, I mean, race pace, is that what you're going for?
Yeah, I mean, do you run up hills? Do you just jog?
Sometimes.
For a leisurely jog? Or are
Sometimes.
You trying to break a time each time?
Sometimes.
So you
run, you run.
And is it like planned
I like
out?
You said, do you have a procedure? Like what? No, you go and run. You do the work. The brilliance behind running mm-hmm. is that there are no shortcuts to running. If you want to be good at running, you have to go run. That's it. Sitting, that's all. You have to put in the work. Nobody will just show up and be good at running without putting in the work beforehand. You have to do it. It's the only way.
Yeah.
So if you want to do some hills, throw some hills in. If you want to go hard, go hard. If you want to take an easy day, go easy. I'm sure if you're training for something specifically, yeah, there are tons of great places you can find workout regimens and different places to find to put yourself on a track. Like if you're training for a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K, you can put yourself on like a 30-day program, 60-day, 90-day program to get you to that peak level for that race. But I'm not training for anything right now. I just run.
God bless you.
I think the key is on a day like today, you don't have to be a marathon runner like Chris or run hills like me. Just get out and move, especially with this quarantine and everyone being locked up in the house. And it's getting to a point where it's kind of getting miserable once in a while, you know, with e-learning and everything. Just get up, get out, move a little bit. You'll feel better. Clears your mind.
Just stay socially distanced. Socially distanced. JR is in Valparaiso, and he's a regular caller to the show. Hey, JR, what's up there, Sparkles? JR?
Oh, hello.
Hey, JR, let's go, baby.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
How you doing?
Sorry, man. Sorry about that. Hope you guys are staying safe. There is one thing I want to talk about with this Trubisky Foles competition. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed, but on ESPN and NFL Network, they talk about passer rating, completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio. But one day I was looking up on people talk about how Mitchell Trubisky is not accurate. Turns out he was 11th in on target throws and then 7th in dropped passes. So I don't know if that holds any validity with any of you guys. But should that be a stat that is talked about more on NFL Network and ESPN? Because they talk about passer rating, and you can have a good passer rating by compiling stats in garbage time. So let me know what your thoughts are. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Look, I have two sort, and I'm as supportive of Mitchell Trubisky as anybody in town. But there are also throws that he could not connect on or did not connect on that you look, you go, hey, man, if you're going to take the team where the team thinks it's going to go, and we just heard Marcus Spears say that defense could be, like, otherworldly, then they have to have the quarterback be able to hit Taylor Gabriel when he gets behind the defense and Mitch underthrows him and it gets tipped away by fingertips. When you have a guy open in the back of the end zone and you miss him, you've got to be able to make some of those throws. Again, better offensive line, more weapons, another year in the system. Can he be better? I believe he can. But other people believe the ship has already sailed and it's absolutely Nick Foles' job. We will see. Good friend of the show. In fact, a great friend of the show. And we are very supportive of this gentleman because I think he's really just a wonderful addition when he calls in. His name is Greg Braggs. What's up there, Greg Braggs?
What's up, Cappy? You're a wonderful guy, too.
Appreciate that.
So let me preface this by saying I'm fat. So I may, you know, just do as I say, not as I do. But Danny's talking about running up and down the hill and not stopping. And I did that because we have a big hill by our house for a little bit when we were on a little workout kick. And my trainer told me that you actually should slow up and go fast and slow up and go fast. That if you just keep the same consistency the whole time and do the same routine each time you do it, that your body adjusts to it. You don't actually burn anything. You got to get your heart rate going up and down, and then you burn a little more.
Yeah, I think when Danny does that, the hill serves as that effect. You know, it's not like he just is out for a leisurely jog from the house, because I've driven that path from his house to where the ski hill is. But then when you start incorporating going up the hill and then walking back, you know, kind of jogging back down and then running, it's hard, man. I did it. That is
be careful. We got to be careful. Don't put too much wear and tear on your knees, Cap. We need you. Now, don't let Black and these guys bully you into thinking you don't have a shot today against Yerk. Keep that positive attitude. You got to get in Yerko's head. This is a mind game, Cap. You got to get him off his game before it starts. Before the game starts, you got to get him off his game. Well, don't let these guys punk you out. You got all the opportunity in the world. Take care, go out. I'm rooting for you, buddy.
You're the best. Have a great
Let's
day.
Get it.
Stay safe.
You as well.
You too. See ya. There he is, Greg Bragg, St. John, Indiana. A great, great P1 listener to our station and to this show. Yeah, don't be punking me, Black.
No, I mean, back to what Greg was saying about running. I would assume that Danny is not running to burn calories, right?
No.
Because okay. Danny has no fat on
him. No, but the point is Danny is running to accomplish the running aspect and not being worried about calories. Yes. Greg's, whoever told him that the up and down, yes. That if you are looking to maximize burning calories, yes. If you want to be good at running, yes. Danny's angle of not slowing down would be the most ideal option there.
What Greg's right. talking about is like, it's called HIIT. It's high intensity interval training. Correct. There's smart ways to do it. You don't just run, then walk, then run, then walk. There's actual smart ways to do it. It's very beneficial. It's very helpful.
I'm actually taking a HIIT class this afternoon on the Peloton.
Oh.
They have a bunch of different ones you can do. This kind of ride, that kind of ride, a power zone ride. There's a HIIT class I'm taking today with the awesome Emma Lovewell.
Somebody from Peloton, I think, got the coronavirus, and they've now ceased the live classes they were doing.
Right. The class I took the other day with Leanne Hainsby, there was no one in the studio with her.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any live ones anymore. Now they're just going to the recorded ones.
For the foreseeable future? No, there was a live class, but no one in the studio. Just her.
Correct. I think they've recently just made it. Now everything will be on recording.
Really?
Correct.
Oh, that's awful. Well,
what's
awful? Do what
it's not like
do.
You've done every single workout they offer.
No, I like the live one, though, when you get a little feedback when they go, hey, the Cap Man, 100 rides or whatever the number is. Yeah, it's really cool.
How many are you at?
120, maybe.
Is that on point? Is that the number?
Yeah, I can look it up at the break.
I'm interested to know.
Suspending all live classes for the rest of April.
Wow. Yeah, I'll look up the number right now. I can sign on my account here and tell you exactly what it is. It's something like that, 118, 122, something like that. Anyway, 312-332-3776. We'll get back to passing with optimism for the start of baseball in your calls. 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We continue Kappa Company, ESPN 1000. With Christopher Black, Daniel Zetterman, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Chris, I looked it up, kid. 120 total workouts, 117 on the cycle, 2 yoga, not a big fan, and 1 stretching class.
Make it 121 today.
Absolutely. I lifted this morning. I will absolutely do a Peloton class this afternoon.
What'd you lift today?
What'd you say, Danny?
I was going to say, forget the Peloton. It's going to be 75 degrees. Take those dogs for an actual run.
Yeah, I might do both. I might do the Peloton, then when Mindy gets home, we'll take the 3 dogs for, you know, a light jog or a walk or something.
So what'd you bench today? What'd you get?
I don't have anybody to spot me. It's not like my wife or the dogs are going to spot me. I just went multiple reps.
Yeah, I'm looking for a weight. What'd you push? What'd you get there?
I was doing, let's see, I did
35 plates on each side. What'd you do?
I had 45-pound plates on each side of the 45-pound bar. That's 135.
Yep.
And then I threw 10s on there. I did sets of 10, and then I went to 155 and did a set of 15. And then I did dumbbells with 60s.
Wait, but I thought you said you didn't do it because you didn't have a spotter. So you did do it.
No,
you just
I said
didn't
I
want to tell us originally.
I couldn't go heavy.
Okay.
Because I don't have anybody spot me.
What would heavy be, bro?
Probably using my 80-pound dumbbells. Like I did those when I was with Danny, and I had Danny to spot me. That was
what about on the bench
training? Flat bench probably max out at 2.25.
I've seen Cap in the gym. He's powerful.
Oh, no doubt. I'm just trying to find out.
And then I did
figure it out. Did
wall sits with a 40-pound weight vest on. Okay, those are brutal.
How long was this workout this morning?
Hour and 15. Absolutely.
Danny, do you want to work out tomorrow before the show with me?
I would love to work out before the show.
The wall sits are brutal. Brutal.
Are we meeting here, and then we're going to go for what? What do you want to do? Six miler?
Six miles is perfect.
And then
God
we'll go for a six miler. And
where
then
are we going to shower?
No, who cares? I mean, no one's here.
All right.
Exactly. Right? Like,
count me in.
What does it matter? Did you shower after, Cap?
Yes, I showered after it. I was at home. I came up. I made coffee, and then actually, my wife made coffee. I had coffee, and then boom.
Well, I'm only asking because you have gone to work out before coming here without a shower in between. You've done that before.
Yeah, I've showered, gone downtown, worked out, come here, and then went and did cardio after radio, and then showered again.
Yeah, the shower before the workout does nothing though.
Wakes me up.
Well, yes, it accomplishes that, but the cleanliness of showering and then being around your coworkers, that accomplishes nothing.
Yeah, it's not like when I lift weights, I'm dripping wet. Now, on the Peloton, different story.
Well, bro, it's because you're not lifting hard enough.
Oh, my God. You're unbelievable. Let's hear from Jeff Passan. I've had enough of you, too. What was the word they got last car used?
Jackal?
Oh, don't let you guys.
You said jackal?
No, don't let you guys punk me. Yeah, you jackal.
Jackal?
This is Jackal? Jeff Passan. He was on Scott Van Pelt's show last night. Here are the issues with getting baseball back.
Well, first, Scott, you have to get buy-in from the players. And look, the players want to get paid for the 2020 season, and the only way they get paid for the 2020 season is if they play. And at this point, Major League Baseball and the Players Association believe this is the clearest path to them playing. So once you get past having the players on board, then comes the logistical part. And within a month, trying to figure out hotel, transportation, security, a game schedule, trying to get all of that locked down and inside of this biodome, biosphere, bubble, whatever you want to call it, that is where the sanctity of the plan comes into play. Because if you can get everybody in there, but you're not going to subject others to the outside, and it doesn't become a public health concern with these larger gatherings.
So what do they have to do?
Well, there's going to be a lot of testing first off. I think that's one of the most important parts. And look, the expectation with the league and the players is that over the next month or so, there is going to be an increase in testing to the point where if Major League Baseball is plowing through all these tests, it's not going to look like they're taking tests from people who really need it out in the public sphere. I think the second part, and really the more important part here, is that they're going to be playing baseball and they're going to be modeling the kind of behavior. And this is a big point that the public health officials were making in conversations with the players and the league. They want the players to be modeling behavior. So we're talking the possibility. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen. This is up for discussion. We're talking the possibility, because there are no fans in the stands, of players not sitting in the dugout, but sitting 6 feet away from one another in the stands and walking out to the on-deck circle that way. We're talking about one idea that's been thrown around is that there's not going to be an umpire hovering over the catcher, that you're going to have in an electronic strike zone, which they have used in the minor leagues at some point. This is going to be, Scott, potentially, if the games end up getting played, like baseball on Mars. This is going to be something like we have never seen before in baseball. And I think because this season almost has an automatic asterisk to it because of all the complications and the oddities and the hoops that you're going to be jumping through just to get playing, I think that Major League Baseball and the players are going to be open to a whole lot of changes that make the game different than you have seen. And one of those is going to be, I think, players being mic'd up a lot, because this is going to be a television game. And what we saw in all access games on ESPN this spring, I think we're going to see a lot of, if games do wind up getting played this season.
Very, very interesting stuff right there, because as we talked about with Tim Anderson, and he was all on board to take that unwritten rule book that they have. Oh my God, it's a 3-0 game, but he's got a no hitter in the eighth. You better not lay a bunt down and break up the no hitter. It's just garbage, horse crap. I mean, don't go in hard to second base. That's old school. We don't play that way. Don't this, don't that. Don't flip your bat. Just run, drop your bat and run around the bases and be a good guy. Stop. Stop. It's just old school nonsense, and that stuff all has to go away. Get rid of the old school rule book, and let's try to start to take this game to the next level. It's my favorite sport. I love them all. This is my favorite sport. I'm a baseball fan. and they've got to be smarter. And if they get this opportunity, it's not a done deal, but if they get this opportunity to basically have the sports landscape to themselves, wow. Wow, that could be an amazing shot in the arm that this sport desperately needs. Hey, my cousin is stuck on vacation. That's right. Cousin Jay is stuck on vacay. We'll talk about that and your calls next.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
We're going to crosstalk in 12 minutes with Carmen and Yurko. And then 12:35, we carry live game one of the game Tournament of Champions when the one seed, John Yurkovich, better known as Yurko, will be playing in front of his home crowd. And the eight seed, the longest shot in the field, me, battles Yurko in a version of the game. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. Embrace the challenge, kid. Live life all in, Danny.
You're playing on 8-foot rims. That's all I'm going to say.
But hold on a second. If we're playing on 8-foot rims, that gives Yurko an even bigger advantage.
Yes. But it gives you a chance. What I'm saying here is this game on a level of 1 to 10, most games I try to make a 7 or 8. This game's a 4, maybe a 5.
And I've seen the questions. I think you have a chance at 3 of 7.
Okay, so that it really didn't help me that much, right?
Well, I mean, I would imagine Yurko could probably get 6 of 7, if not 7 for 7. And that's the problem you're going to run into.
Is there any question on there, Danny, Chris, and again, I'm not asking for any tips, nothing, that you think Yurko's going to struggle with that?
There's one question I think maybe neither of you know.
Yeah.
I ran it by Carmen. I ran it by Bleck. I ran it by my wife. Two of the three of them got it right. Chris didn't know the answer, so I felt it was safe. That's the only one that Yurko might stumble on, but he has a vast knowledge of nothingness. Like, he knows a little bit about everything.
Yeah, I would imagine the other six questions he will not have a problem with.
Okay, so you're basically telling me to win, I've got to be perfect.
What I would like to do, because Yurko's the number one seed and he's great at trivia, I would have liked to challenge him. The problem is, because you're the number eight seed and you've earned the number eight seed, I could not challenge
you
Yurko.
You couldn't have put Sylvie as the eight.
Because Sylvie's better at trivia than you, Cap. Like, listen, I mean this with peace and love. Don't take this the wrong way. But you have blind spots in a lot of, like, standard, commonplace knowledge of pop culture.
Yeah.
Like, you just heard of the movie.
And I'm okay with that.
Last week, you just heard of the movie The Town for the first time.
No.
You're like,
guys, guess what I watched to discover The Town?
No.
We're like, The Town's been out for seven years. No, I saw The Town a couple years ago when Karin told me to watch
it. Here's a perfect example. Last summer, Old Town Road was the biggest song in the history of the world. My 6-year-old and 4-year-olds knew every word. There's not a person alive that didn't know it. We asked you about Old Town Road, and
Meet me.
Who? What? Huh?
When you played it, I said, oh, I know that song.
It's like you've been living under a rock at times. You're in this, like, sports cocoon. Where if it's not on Twitter.
Sports, current events, and politics.
Not really current events.
Yeah, I read news.
Not really current events.
Yeah.
Pretty current good. Events.
I'm not talking about pop culture type stuff. I'm talking about, like, newsy type stuff.
I don't know about that, Cap.
Yeah.
You know what's on your Twitter feed. Like, if the question was what's on Cap's Twitter feed today, you'd win.
Let's go to Brian in Arlington Heights. I don't like you. Brian, what's going on, man?
Not much, Cap. Listen, I'm a big fan, but I totally agree with the guys in that, in all likelihood, Yurko will most likely stomp on you today, but there is a chance. There's always a chance because you never know. So my question is actually geared toward Danny and Chris. Are they prepared for the backlash in the hashtag take that that they will never hear the end of if you should, in for some reason, topple Yerk today.
Yeah, shock the world. Like,
yeah.
I feel like Herb Brooks, if we played him 10 times, they'd win 9, but not today. That's it. Well, I was born to be a trivia player today. That's it. You got it. Hey, man, stay safe, all right?
You too, brother.
All right, brother, see you. 312-332-3776.
There's no backlash. Like, if you beat Yurko, good. Congrats. There is no. Take that.
What's your name?
You're damn right there will be.
Okay, you can trash talk Yurko because you beat him.
I'll trash talk you guys, too.
For what?
Because you all doubted me.
Well, no more then. There. No more about things.
I will say this. If I were Yurko today and you did win, mm-hmm. I would demand a rematch where I actually write a game at the caliber level that it should be written at.
Yeah, no.
Like, this is the game Tournament of Champions. It's like a master's level class, and I wrote kindergarten class for you. So if I were Yurko and I lost, I would demand a rematch where I wrote harder questions, like actual questions. I don't think it's going to happen because Johnny's going to handle these questions with ease.
Just telling you, man, everyone wrote off the 80 Olympic team and they shocked the world. You never, ever know. Rufus is in Naperville. It's kind of a cool name. Hey, Rufus, what's up, man?
Hey, Capo boy, how are you?
I'm good, man. Just hoping I can shock the world today.
Hey, I just wondered, Cap, I'm listening to you about the lifting. How much you weigh?
I weighed 189 pounds yesterday. I was 223.
No kidding. That's the most you ever weighed, 223?
No, I was probably a little north of that many, many years ago. But when I kind of started praying at the altar of Danny Zetterman, it changed from 223 to like 189, 188, right in there.
Could you beat Yurkovic in a wrestling match?
No chance.
No chance?
No chance.
All right, buddy boy. Thank you.
Thanks, Rufus.
Nobody in this building could beat Yurko in a wrestling match.
No, we have no chance.
No shot. I mean, if Yurko got you down on the ground, it's over.
Over.
Could you beat Waddle in a wrestling match?
No.
Could you beat Carmen in a wrestling match?
That'd be a good battle. I've got him. I'm going to guess Carmen weighs 160.
Dude, Carmen is strong.
Yeah. 100%. That'd be an interesting match. I have him, you know, by 25 pounds probably, at least. But he's wiry and tough.
But you have Waddle by a bunch of pounds, too.
No. Waddle's like 190.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
No way.
Yes.
Waddle looks built like Carm, maybe a little bit taller.
He's definitely
Carm's
taller.
Maybe a little bit more muscular.
Yeah, Waddle's like 190. I think he played at 185, and he's like 190. Waddle's got muscle, man. Waddle's tough.
He works out every day. Waddle's in great shape. He's a world-class athlete.
Yes, he is. Waddle is one of those guys that if they invented a game, he wouldn't have to practice it. He'd be good right away at it. That's just how the kind of athlete he is. 312-332-3776. Roy's in Portage Park. Hey, Roy, what's up, man?
Cat, man, what's going on, baby? The whole city of Chicago's behind you, baby. Let's get this upset today, all right?
You got it. Let's see what we can do.
Let's do it, baby. All in, all right?
I love you, Roy. Thank you.
Thanks, Cap.
See you, buddy. Stay safe and healthy. Let's get Jay on the west side. Hey, Jay, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how y'all doing? Nice show.
Thanks, bud. Thanks for listening. Day. You're the best.
Thank you. Why don't you guys modify the game that's going to happen today? Say, you know, since they think you at a disadvantage, tell them to let you, in the event that you get a question wrong, give you ABC and the right answer and two wrong answers and let you choose. And if you choose right, give you a half a point.
Danny won't do that. No chance. No chance.
Great show.
Hey,
great
man.
Great show. I listen to you guys every day.
Hey, God love bless you, and please stay safe and healthy, okay?
Stay clean, stay safe.
Where'd you go to school on the west side?
I went to Spalding.
Okay, my late father went to Marshall.
Really? Oh, yeah. Gator, Coach Gator,
yeah.
Pat Beverly.
Yeah, Luther Bedford, all of them, the Commandos. You got
Hershey
it.
Hershey Hawkins.
He was Westinghouse, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. All right, have a good one. KG is my favorite player of all time, though.
God bless him. There you go. Stay safe, kid. All right, there you go. 312-332-3776. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think wins a wrestling match, Danny? Me or Edzo?
Edzo.
I don't know about
that. Come on. He's a world-class athlete, played professional hockey. He works out every day.
He never wanted to go in the corners. He wouldn't want to deal with an angry, mean dog like me.
Cap, no offense, and I mean this with peace and love, but you were the kid on the playground when you got in a fight, you curled up in the fetal position on the floor and waited for the teacher to break it up.
So?
You're not beating Edzo in a fight. You're not beating Carm in a fight. You're not beating Waddle in a fight. You're not beating Yurko in a fight.
You didn't say a fight. You said a wrestling match.
Same thing.
Fight is different.
I'm not beating Carm in a fight. And the reason I know that is a couple of Christmas parties ago, he lifted me up and threw me across the bar. Literally threw me.
Who, Carm?
Yeah. Lifted me up and threw me like a shot put.
I think I could take Edzo. I do. 312, just kidding, Edzo. 312-332-3776. We will crosstalk with Carmen and the soon-to-be-crying John Yurkovich next.